What is going on, Banties? Welcome back to another episode of Base Hits and Banter. I am one of your two co-hosts, Haley McClinney, joined by my best buddy and softball watching pal,
Sam Fisher. What's up, everybody?
Howdy, folks. Sam, obviously the story of the weekend was the Red River rivalry. I did rehearse that 10 times in the
Good
mirror
job.
Before we hopped on the pod, Texas takes a series from Oklahoma. Thoughts? Yeah.
So many thoughts. Exciting to watch. Big shout out though, this weekend to the women's basketball. What a finish. South yes. Carolina undefeated. My goodness.
18.7 million viewers.
Yeah, just a few.
So everyone does watch women's sports.
Yeah, that they do be. So loved to see it. I loved switching back and forth because obviously, I mean, I'm going to watch both.
But, absolutely.
What a weekend. It was everything I was hoping it would be. Not to say that I was hoping Oklahoma would lose or Texas would win, but they were World Series level games. And yes. That is what I was hoping for. Like, you know, you love being part of a blowout when you're a player for the yes. most part, but like, you don't want to watch that.
No.
So I think it was everything everybody was hoping for it to be.
It was. It literally felt like every pitch could have changed the game. And so you were watching Absolutely. Every game with that much anticipation and excitement.
Yeah.
And we had some friends over that we ran into that live near us, and they were saying how like they haven't really watched a softball game all year, but they made sure to tune in to Oklahoma and Texas. And of course they had to tell, you know, me and East Coast K-Dog about it, but Naturally. They said the same thing. It was literally like flipping on a World Series game in April.
Yeah.
And what an amazing thing for our sport to be televised like that, to have the ratings that we did while all of the women's March Madness was going on.
Correct. Like, yes.
Just women's sports right now, up and up, like trending in the right direction.
Yep.
It's skyrocketing. And this is this really is only the beginning, I think, for women's basketball and for yes. the softball side too.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think you know, there's been a lot of conversation about present day sport and past sport where you mm-hmm. don't get to this point without those who laid the foundation and those who
yes.
came before us and put in the work and everything. So I just hope everybody's happy to see that things are coming to fruition, but
absolutely.
In women's sports in general, you're absolutely right. But there was a couple of controversial things that happened on Saturday night in the Texas Oklahoma game. One being something that's a very hot topic right now is the leaving early call. What are your thoughts? For those who didn't watch, it was 2-1 Texas, bases loaded. Katie Stewart, a freshman who broke two windows in the building behind the field during batting practice, could just unload on a ball. She bases loaded. She hits a ball off the wall, two runs score. It's 4-1 Texas, but Oklahoma comes out, challenges and says, I think somebody left early. Can we check? Runner from second left early. Batter comes back, runners go back. That runner now is out. So 2-1 Texas instead of 4-1 Texas. What are your thoughts, Halo, on this new thing?
Total, utter, dumpster garbage.
To put it lightly, so so.
Why? Like, I don't understand, and this may be a controversial take, but like, I just don't understand why, if it doesn't impact the play mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah.
Why are we reviewing it? I get you're not supposed to. I get you're not supposed to leave early. I totally understand that. But if you're actively not trying to advance the base in a bases loaded situation where you have a runner in front of you, I get it if it's a runner on first and like you're trying to draw a throw or something by faking mm-hmm. out the entire dugout.
Yeah.
But if you have a runner in front of you,
where are you going?
What does that matter?
Right.
And I think now it's just becoming, the more and more games that I watch, the more that it's becoming just a fallback for a lot of coaches. Be like, oh, well, we just gave up a bases clearing triple or bases clearing mm-hmm. double or a grand slam. And
such like, a good point.
Let's just see if someone randomly left early. Like there is strategy behind it, but there's not, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I think it slows the game down. I think it's almost like to the effect of, you know how when this is just because basketball has been on both of our minds the past week, but when one team has so much momentum, the opposing coach calls a timeout, right?
Yep.
Get the group together, slow, like calm the crowd down, get everybody's breath back to normal. That's what this does. And I don't like it.
Don't
because I don't it. I don't think it's directly impacting the outcome of a lot of these plays that we're seeing it replayed in. What are your thoughts?
I'm with you. I do think that, like, I am very much a person of, like, rules are there for a reason, like, follow the rules, obviously.
Sure.
But also what you're saying too, like, it leads me into thinking of, if you don't have cause, then I don't think you should be able to ask. Like, there's so many things that need cause before they happen, right? So
yes,
there was no cause. Like it wasn't blatant. Even
great
slowing
word.
It, even slowing it down, you're watching, you're like, oh, you know what? I do think she left early. It wasn't like, oh yeah, my God, she's 3 feet off the base.
Right.
And so she would have scored either way. She would have scored
Correct.
Either way. It was a split second. So I'm not advocating for leaving early, but I'm also not advocating for, just like you said, it's a fallback. And I don't like in this sport having a fallback, like let the game fall as it may.
Yes.
And if the umpire, like I said, if it's blatant and the umpire can see it with the naked eye, that's a completely different story than, hey, let's just check and see.
Right. So, totally agree with you there.
It's tough. I think it will change. I think it's affected quite a few games already this year. But the other call happened to end the game, to give Texas their victory on Saturday, of obstruction or not obstruction at the plate. So you saw the play. What do you think? Like, I'm in the camp that it was not obstruction, and I'll plant my flag there. But what do you think?
I will also plant my flag there. It's a tough play for the base runner, because
100%.
You don't, in real time, you really don't have anywhere to go.
Correct.
However, the ball being thrown that far up the line, as an outfielder, not the most accurate throw. But if obstruction was called in that situation, and I know as a center fielder that my throw is what led the catcher to get that call, I feel awful, because in my opinion, the catcher always has a right to go get my errant's not the right word, but my like a little off the mark throw. And that's a really difficult throw to make, no matter how many times you make it. Making that throw in a high pressure situation like that is one of the most difficult things to do as an outfielder consistently. So I thought the throw, you want to miss on that side of the base.
100%. Awesome. Yes.
I just think it was a bang bang play, but the catcher has a right to go get that ball. And you have to give the Texas center fielder credit for doing that, because it was like, again, every single moment of that game mattered. And for it to cut, like, what better, cooler ending to have?
Yeah, because you do not want to give Oklahoma another out. You cannot. If they tied that ball game and they have the bats in their hands, you don't want to give that to them. So I think the catcher also did a great job of the way that she received the ball and then tagged her. It was sideways. She wasn't facing the runner. Like, she did.
Right.
She did a great job, I think, of still doing something to give the, like you said, there's nowhere to go. Like, it's not like you're going to stop running to change direction. Like, that run matters so much. And should she have been sent? I don't know. Like, you know, you never
That's part
want
of it too.
You never want your last out to be at home plate. So I don't know. I think there's a lot that goes into it, but I like that it was an obstruction. I think you got to let the play out. And like you said, I rather, especially like in my shortstop days, I'd rather have an errant throw, quote, on that side of the base than on the other side of the base. Because at the end of the day, like, if that throw was on the money at home, she's out by 5 feet. But this letter, it's like in a pickle, you know, like, you close the gap. You just at the end of the day, the gap kind of got closed, and boom, boom.
Exactly right. The gap got closed.
A big weekend.
Oh my gosh. Like, just what an absolute weekend. And I want to give a shout out to Estelle Check, because she has done something that quite literally no pitcher has done in my recent memory, at the very least. Held OU scoreless.
How?
No walks, no extra base hits in six innings of relief work. She retired all eight batters that she faced to clinch that series on Sunday. So,
huge.
I mean, veteran in the circle. Texas has a really deep pitching staff.
They do.
And I think that, like, you want the formula to beat Oklahoma, I think you've got to follow what Texas did this weekend. You've got to have elite deep pitching. You've got to have a great start, a great reliever, a good closer.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out a way to get a timely hit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, credit to Oklahoma too. Like, obviously there's always room to credit Oklahoma. They're great. Like
Always.
Kelly Maxwell on Friday night, she looked untouchable. She looked untouchable on Friday night. So
crispy.
Yeah. And credit to Oklahoma in that this is the first series they've dropped since 2011 in the Big 12.
2011?
2011. That was Chelsea Thomas. That was to Missouri with Chelsea Thomas. So, like, I mean,
Missouri
makes sense.
Wasn't even in the SEC yet when, oh my.
Yeah. So big
Wow.
Shout out there. I also think Texas defense, Mia Scott at third base.
Lights out.
Lights out. She was eating everything up. So I just, you have to play near perfect to beat Oklahoma, and Texas went out and they did that. Even in their loss, they played very well. They played well. Yeah. Maxwell just was unbelievable on Friday night.
Literally unbelievable. Like, it didn't look like anyone was even close to the
no.
ball.
Mm-mm.
I was swinging and missing from the couch. So
I'd be doing that too. So
it happens.
I know we spent quite a bit of time with the college talk about this particular series, but do you want to run through quick some other games that happened over the weekend? Some other big wins, big losses?
I think we got to chit chat a little bit about Florida LSU. So Florida took the series in Gainesville.
Yes,
not
they did.
Super shocking. Gainesville's a really tough place to play. That series was everything I think anyone would expect. Very close, little bit of pitching, a little bit of timely hitting, some spurts of great offense, back and forth, a lot of momentum shifting plays. And then to have it all end Monday night on a walk-off strikeout
rough
is so hard. Like, my jaw was on the floor watching that, and your heart breaks for LSU because you'd never want to lose a game like that. And my heart especially breaks for Sydney Burzon, who has carried a lot of the load for LSU. Like, again, another deep pitching staff, but I think she's very clearly the ace of that staff.
Yeah, I agree.
For you to strike out Florida's best hitter, the SEC's best hitter, one of the nation's best hitter, I would argue the best hitter in the nation, in Skylar Wallace.
Yeah.
For you to strike her out on three pitches.
Get her to chase, too. To chase.
Get her to chase a ball in the dirt, which she never does.
No.
Man.
Yeah, that's tough.
Just really tough. But overall, I thought that was a great series. And Florida has continued to just continue to surprise me. I keep waiting for their youth to show.
Yeah.
And it hasn't.
Very composed.
It hasn't.
Very composed.
Very composed. I think that's a credit to Tim Walton. And
For sure.
I think the addition of Francesca Anaya to that coaching staff has really made a big difference.
Yeah,
I do.
She's so cool.
She's one of the coolest people out there.
Yeah.
Fran, if you're listening, we love you.
Yeah, we're big fans. She's a Valley girl. She's from the Valley. So
she is.
Valley Girls Unite.
Valley Girls Unite. I love that. Also of note, Tennessee did take 2 of 3 from Georgia. That series normally would be like, oh my gosh, everybody's watching that. But because of OU Texas,
what
I
a
think
weekend.
It got lost in the weeds a little bit.
Yeah.
Tennessee continues to impress me with their pitching.
Yes.
Pickens is an absolute animal. And Godshall, it's like the perfect combination of an elite offense, a high velocity pitcher, and a spinny movement pitcher.
Yes.
They've got it all. It's fun to watch.
I love too that they're quietly doing well. I think that there's a lot of talk around big teams, right? Like look at Duke, look at the conversations around them right now. Look at the conversations, Texas, Oklahoma, all these other big, huge teams. And Tennessee's kind of like they're there and they're doing just as good. But the top, I feel it, like it's just a little under the radar, it seems. And I love that. They're gonna all of a sudden be not a dark horse or a sleeper. They're just gonna be like, what do you mean, guys? We've been here the whole time.
Yeah. Like we've been out here handling our business. We've been in our bag. Like,
yeah,
don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when Tennessee's out here doing their thing.
All of a sudden in the championship of the World Series. I'm just saying.
They're deep enough.
What else? You said you want to tell them about Washington, Oregon?
Sad weekend for the Dogs. Great weekend for the Ducks, though.
Yes.
Oregon took 2 of 3. I have to say I am surprised. I did think there was a chance that Washington would drop a game here because Oregon has not been the most consistent team.
Right.
And Washington, we've talked about endlessly, I feel like, on this show that for whatever reason, they couldn't win a game on Sunday until last weekend.
Yes.
And but for them to drop two, I was really surprised.
Yeah.
I was really, really surprised.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if being
any given weekend.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
The competition you're playing number one. But I also wonder, like, at this time of the year, we're approaching mid-April. We're gearing up, even thinking about postseason. Like, I wonder if this is going to be the weekend that's going to have them say, all right, you guys, we either turn it on now or we turn it off. You know what I mean? Like, this could be a pivotal weekend for them to take and to then. Same with LSU, I think. Like, looking at those losses, I feel like, okay, you guys, like, enough messing around. You know, let's go and let's really get on the road to OKC. So I'm curious to see how both of those teams come out next weekend.
I would argue the same for Oklahoma.
Because
think about it, no one on that roster has been in this spot.
Truly. No.
Ever. Mm-mm. And so it's not about necessarily like, it's not what happens to you. Like, every team experiences adversity at some point in the season. You lose a game you shouldn't lose. You lose a series you don't think you should lose.
Uh-huh.
You're not playing as well as you want to. You hit that like mid-season wall. It happens to everybody. How do you flip the switch and respond and make a run? Because these games in April, like, yes, as much as they do matter for where you're going to be once, you know, Selection Sunday comes around, yes, that's important. But what matters even more is having momentum going into the NCAA tournament.
100%.
And right now, this is the time for those teams to start building that as we kind of round out conference
100%.
play.
100%. Oh, gosh, man. I know we spent a little extra time today talking about college softball, but it's a big weekend. This is pivotal.
We had to.
We absolutely. But I mean, in other news, look at how good Halo looks in her USA softball.
Ew.
I mean, talk about swag.
It's so comfortable.
It's got a pocket too in the front, no?
It's got a pocket in the front. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, that's where she puts her snacks.
I'm not going to show up my tummy, but this is where I keep all of my Banty snacks.
Banty
snacks. Much like Caitlin Clark's dad.
Yeah, you got to keep the snacks somewhere. Let's be real. So if you guys want to go over to usasoftballstore.com for your gear, you can use code BHB15 and get 15% off your entire purchase. We love you, USA Softball Store. You have us looking so cool all the time and comfortable. And comfortable.
Swag. But cozy swag.
Yeah, cozy swag. That is our look. Cozy swag chic.
Sometimes chic.
Sometimes chic, most of the time comfortable.
Most of the time comfortable. Chic, but when I remember to wear my tinted moisturizer every day.
Oh, yeah. That's when you're like, oh, she's got the glow.
That's it.
But let's get into a little Banty balance. What do you say? Let's balance things out here. We've got managing post-game stress today about unwinding after competition. So do you want to take the lead here? I feel like our answers are going to intertwine because we decompress together.
Yes, they are definitely going to intertwine.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me, I think we've talked about this in the past, Sam, I am an extroverted introvert.
100%.
And so when I am around my teammates, I'm so happy. I'm at the game. Everything is great and hunky dory. Like, win or lose, like, I genuinely love being around my teammates and playing the game and all of the camaraderie that comes with that.
Yes.
That being said, as soon as that game is over, social battery is immediately at zero.
Depleted.
And recharge has to happen. And so for me, like, space is very important. I like to take my time getting out of the locker room and slow down because our game kind of moves so fast.
Yeah.
So I'm very deliberate about controlling my pace as I leave the venue. And I just like my space. Like, I want to get dinner, a nice healthy dinner, maybe with teammates, maybe not. Like, if it's a tough game, I do like going to get dinner with friends and just like chit-chatting through things, because I think that helps you process some stuff. But like, once you get back to the hotel room, get back to your bed, grab a book.
Oh.
Grab a good book. Maybe light a candle.
Ooh.
Maybe a little bit of journaling.
Ooh.
Maybe a little bit of meditation. Maybe a little sleep story.
Ooh.
I'm not opposed to that either.
A lullaby. But
it's, It's the pace is what's so important for me. It's
Yeah.
like being very deliberate about slowing down. And I know you're a big reader as well, but is there anything else that you like to do to
Yeah, you know what? I love that you I knew that our, you know, like a Venn diagram, like our answer to this is just a circle because
right
it's
there.
Extremely overlapped. So
yeah.
The one thing I will add is that after a game, I like to go and recap the game. Like I want to see good or bad game. I like to see what went well. I like to see what I could improve on. I think every single game, every single at bat is a learning opportunity. And I want to take advantage of when it's fresh in my mind to go learn about it. Sometimes it's hard to watch. Sometimes I'd be like, I know what's coming when I'm rewatching.
Yes.
Sometimes it's hard, but for me to fully check out and move on to the next game, I have to live that game fully. Right.
Yes.
So I think that's something. Thank you. Because you can learn from the past, but you don't want to then bring it into tomorrow, especially like we play AU, we play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if I'm playing on Sunday, but I still got Fridays at bats in my head, I'm not doing myself or my team any favors.
No.
So I know that you and I too will like compare. We'll show, especially when we're roommates, we'll show each other our laptops, be like, do you think this was a strike or was this a ball? I'd be like, no, that's a good take. Like, don't
swing at that. 9 times out of 10, it's a ball. Just so it's like 9 times out of 10. And that's fine. Like it happens. But again, it's, I love that you bring that up because there's closure that needs to happen.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Like you can't just continue to, I think this is how slumps happen, by the way. It's we don't process things immediately, or like we wait too long to process certain things. And then all of a sudden it's like one bad weekend, another bad weekend, another bad weekend after that. And if we're not taking inventory and providing ourselves closure after every game that we play, it can be really hard to mentally move on.
Right.
Because like if you're not going back and looking at what you did, like how do you expect to track and improve?
Yes. You know? And that goes good and bad games. Like, I don't care. Like, hitting a home run tonight doesn't help me hit a home run tomorrow.
Correct.
Like, I'm going to be facing a different pitcher. I'm going to be in a different – I might be in a different spot in the lineup. Like, there's a lot of things that good – I like consistency in routine in that good game, bad game, win, lose, strikeout, home run. I want to do the same thing every night. And that – that I think comes from having this post game routine of I do love eating, breaking bread with my teammates. But you're right. Like, did you say you're an extroverted introvert or you're an introverted extrovert?
Extroverted introvert.
Okay. Cause I think I'm an introverted extrovert.
Sure. So the opposite.
100%. So I'm like, I am outgoing and then people sometimes are surprised if they only know me as a softball player that when I go home, I'm like.
Introversion.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm reading.
Like, yes. You're definitely reading.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, I think this is a great topic. Everybody needs to find their thing that makes sense for them after the game. I think what's most important through any routine is that you're not beating yourself up and that you're not like overhyping yourself either, right? Because
yes,
when you beat yourself up, you're down bad. When you overhype yourself up, you're too high. And like the game is here. The game is around the middle. So
stay neutral.
Yeah.
Stay and neutral.
Everyday approach consistently and, you know, give yourself a good opportunity to have a new day, a new game, new at bats, new pitches, you know?
Yes. Absolutely incredible.
I can't wait for our post game routines.
It's coming up close.
Yes, it
limited
is.
Season is very rapidly approaching, as well as some USA activities, which I think we're going to get to here in a second.
Yes,
some HPP and national team news. So this past weekend, the Marietta, Georgia identifier had 75 athletes.
Amazing.
Those athletes will be getting their evaluations and invites within the next week, which is so exciting.
Yeah,
the HPP identifier heads to this Sunday, Rocklin, California.
Woo.
Rocklin currently has 100 kids.
Yeah.
And they're still taking walk-up registrations. And then after Rocklin, California, you've got Dallas, Texas on April 21st to close out the month. May is also going to be really busy with the HPP. as we are heading to Maple Grove, Minnesota on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, Honolulu, Hawaii on May 11th, and Houston, Texas on May 19th. You can visit hpp.usasoftball.com for more information or for a list of other identifiers. Sam, do you want to tell the people what's going on with Team USA?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to match your accents because that was amazing. But Team USA, we've got USA Softball has unveiled the rosters for the highly anticipated 2024 Border Battle and Slow Pitch Showdown, which will take place from July 25th to July 27th at the Softball Capital of the World in Oklahoma City. It will showcase men's and women's slow pitch national teams, as well as the men's futures and women's futures team. The Border Battle, I remember the board, like the first time I went and watched the Border Battle was my first time on Team USA. I was like, this is fun and exciting. And we're in the softball capital of the world. It's an annual international softball event that started in 2009, and this will mark its 14th season. And it's between, for those of you who don't know, the Border Battle is between the Canadian national team for slow pitch and USA Softball. So the northern border of the United States of America. So very exciting stuff. July is going to be exciting in Oklahoma City.
Yes. And what do we got? Go America.
Yeah.
Sorry to you Canadians that are out there listening. We do love you.
Love you, Canada. But
we would love to win the border battle. So
we root for the
sorry
whole
about
team.
That. We do. So sorry about that.
What do we got coming up?
Yeah, we got a lot of top 25 matchups again this weekend.
Huge.
So the one that I am most excited about, there's been a lot of talk about the Duke Blue Devils.
I was thinking you were going to say this matchup.
Again, like you're talking, they're kind of flying under the radar a little bit. Like, have they played a tough schedule? Have they not? I personally feel like they have. Like, they've been winning. Mm-hmm. They've been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
On the road at Clemson.
Yeah.
Valerie Cagle.
Yes.
And that crew. And John Rittman, friend of the program. I think that's going to be an absolutely incredible series. I'm absolutely pumped to watch that.
Yeah.
You've also got Texas A&M at Alabama. Alabama got the sweep this weekend over Ole Miss. I want to give a shout out to my Tide there. That was much needed.
Yeah.
Got us back to 500 in SEC play, which is awesome. This is a really big series with Texas A&M coming up. And it's also Alabama's alumni weekend, in which a documentary about the 2012 national championship team is going to premiere on the SEC network. So make sure you guys look out for that.
Are you going to alumni weekend?
I'm not. Sadly. I have an exciting announcement that I will make on my social media this week as to why I'm not.
Okay.
But yes, I will be tuning in, obviously.
Outstanding. I do want to say, to add to these matchups, I'm really glad that you said Duke and Clemson is what you're looking forward to, because right now, Softball America ranked Duke as number one in the country. So there is so much conversation of, do they deserve it? Don't they deserve it? Who have they played? How, this or that? If Duke has a chance to go out and make a statement this weekend.
Duke.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see how they handle that, because there's no way they're not out there reading what people are saying about them as a team.
Absolutely.
Right? So what is it going to do for them? It's going to either put the pressure on and be like, we have to show them. Or it's going to be like, oh, I don't care what they say. We're going to go out and do what Duke does. And yeah, I think this is going to be a huge weekend for statement making across the board, but especially for them Blue Devils over there.
Them Blue Devils. That's going to be a great weekend.
Well, I think we've got a great guest coming up for you guys. I hope you enjoy the conversation. You know, we always do. We're out here with all the banter all the time. And I just love talking to you, Halo.
I love talking to you. It's so fun. Softball's in such a great spot. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear this guest interview in particular, because there are some really good mature nuggets in this episode. So
yeah, stay tuned.
At Higginbotham, we put people first. Our specialists are here to serve you, the people you care about, and your success. Insurance, HR, and financial services. Inspired by you.
All right, Bantees, we're so happy to have you here. We have a very special guest for us. Do you want to say
Hello, before we introduce you.
Oh, yeah. Hi, everyone.
Yvette and Aisha Kennedy, you guys. This is, okay, listen. I already told Nyjah before we started that I have a very hard time. Never in my life have kept my cool, and nothing is different about this time. Halo, how are you feeling about our extremely special guest?
I feel just honored to be in the Zoom room with our girl here, because like just watching you the past couple of years, it's you've just been an absolute pleasure to watch. And so to be able to pick your brain for a little bit is just, it's so exciting for us. And I know a lot of people are going to get a ton out of the conversation.
Yes.
And thank you guys so much for having me too. I'm excited.
It's our pleasure.
Pleasure, Nyjah. So, okay, let's get into the nitty gritty. I'm going to go ahead and give a little bio, and we will cover, you know, pretty much everything and then some. Your bio was quite long, so I kept it to some extremely major bullet points here. To start off, from Topeka, Kansas, where you were two-time Kansas Gatorade Softball Player of the Year. So what a start without even stepping foot on the college playing field. You were NFCA Freshman of the Year, Pac-12 First Team, All-Freshman Team, National Player of the Year, Top 25 Finalist, huge, super huge deal as a freshman. And then you made the All-Tournament Team at the Women's College World Series. So you've had a career, and you've played 1.5 seasons of college. How does it feel when you like hear that or think about what you've already accomplished?
Yeah. Honestly, I never, I feel like just being a college athlete, like you never look too far, like back into the past. It's always like, what's the next thing? So honestly, I don't even think about last season at all. My mind's just like set on this season and like where this team can go. So
The first thing I wanted to ask you is, because one of the things that I noticed that a lot of people struggle with is you have an amazing freshman season and then you come out and you can experience like that sophomore slump. You are immune to that, it seems. Can you talk about just what your mindset was coming into this season that was maybe different than last season?
Yeah, so honestly, like that's especially like coming back in the fall, like just being completely vulnerable. Like that was one thing I was like worried about, because just like so many people like kind of go through that and experience that. And like it's a part of the game, of course, but everyone wants to try to avoid that. Like you want to get better each and every season. So I remember just being like really, really focused on that at the beginning of the year. But I just did a lot of reflection, and you can't always you have no control over the outcomes of things, right? The only thing you can really control is just like your preparation and like the work you do day to day. So instead of focusing on what, on like what could happen, just focus on like the reps I'm doing each and every day and just hoping that was enough. And so far it has been. So I feel like college is about like its challenges, and some days are going to be better than others, and some like years are going to be better than others. But again, like the only thing you can really control is just like your preparation and what you do day to day. So that's just what I've been trying to focus on. It's hope, because it's one thing you can control.
Yeah, I love that.
Gosh, that honestly such a great question, Halo. Way to kick us off. Just that's an amazing question, because it's true. Like you set a standard immediately where you're getting your feet wet at the same time as establishing yourself. And I would love to add this piece because oftentimes huge softball schools aren't necessarily huge academic schools, and you're at a place where you have the tops of the top in the classroom and on the field. How is that balance? Like, I know, are you undeclared? Is your major undeclared still?
So I'm actually kind of in the process of declaring now, and I'm going to declare in science, technology, and society. So that'll be exciting. Yeah.
So that sounds like a hefty major. How is the balance with playing at such an elite level, you know, taking extra reps, being involved in practice, the weight room, and then also your school load?
Yeah. So it's definitely hard. And that's, it's definitely something that, I don't know, you kind of have to figure out early. So, and you find out a lot about yourself too. So I know when like I'm on the road after a game, I personally just don't like doing homework. I like when I'm away, when I'm in, like when we get into conference play and things like that. I know, especially if we're at a hotel, like I just want to unwind, look at film, look at things like that. I don't want to be like worried about an essay or a final. So personally, I just try to do a bunch of my work beforehand. So I know if we leave Thursday, I'll try to get all of my work done on Wednesday. So that just means maybe I won't have as much time to like relax earlier in the week, but I know like later on it'll pay off because then I can just be solely focused on softball. So it's definitely a lot of like time management that, and I'm pretty sure all like college athletes can relate to that. But
that's amazing. Yeah, what was that process like figuring that out to where like you knew that you needed to really focus on the weekends when you were traveling or whatever? Like, what was that process like for you figuring that out?
Yeah, it was definitely like a lot of ups and downs, especially like last year. I feel like this year I have it more. I don't know, as coming in as a sophomore, like you just have more experience under your belt. So like you kind of know certain things about yourself. But I remember last year it was definitely a little stressful at times, just trying to balance like academics and softball. But as you do it more and more, it becomes easier and easier. And then I just found out about myself. If I'm on the road, like I don't want to do homework. I don't want to do schoolwork. So just knowing when to get that done. So then you can, I feel like you can play more freely too. Like if you don't have an essay to worry about or things like that, if you get that done beforehand, it's just easier to prep to play because you don't have to worry about those things.
Be proactive so you can perform. Exactly. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. And
I'm going to take your advice because I'm not proactive.
This is not just for the listeners. This is for the hosts.
This is for me.
It's funny because Halo and I have talked a bit on this podcast about prioritizing, right? Whether it comes to something like this, like your schoolwork, prioritizing so that you can get things done, so that you can put your best foot on the field, whether it's self-care, prioritizing X, Y, and Z. Like there's so much to it where you're, like Halo said, like you're being proactive, you're doing your homework ahead of time so that ball is life on the weekend and school will be there on Monday.
Yes, no, exactly. And actually you say that, but it's kind of relates back to what our coaches say too, like just feeling like finding times, like you relate to self-care, but just finding times to like fill your bucket. We talked a lot about that, like in the winter, because it's so easy to just throw yourself at school and softball and not allow yourself to like do anything else. But you have to find times to not only like do school and softball, but also like, I don't know, go on a walk and just things like that to kind of unwind and just like give yourself time, because you can just like, it's very easy to just focus on school, softball, and that's it. So just try not to fall into that loops hard. But like you said, it's easy. Like you have to prioritize like self-care too, which is very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What are some of your favorite things to kind of unwind? Obviously, the year you had last year, the year you're having this year, there are a lot of eyes on you. And I feel like it sometimes maybe it can feel like the weight of Stanford softball is on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you do mentally to kind of just get away from things and like incorporate your own self-care?
Yeah, so I actually start to get a little bit into like journaling. So and just like writing things down about, it's actually, I have to do a better job of this because my journaling is in like my softball notebook right now. So I have to do a little better job of that. But I just kind of write down things I've enjoyed about my day and things like that. And I don't know, it's just easy to, I don't know, it's easier to just reflect on like the day you've had if you actually write it down. So I've been trying to do that. And then I love my teammates actually. So, We do a lot of stuff together. We play beach volleyball and things like that. So
fun.
Yeah, those are really, and the weather's getting nicer out. So
yeah,
we'll be able to do more things outside.
That California sunshine.
Yes, it's like 70 degrees right now. It's really nice.
That's why they write the songs. That's why all write all the songs about California.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would love to know, Nyjah, what drew you to Stanford? You know, being from Kansas, you have a lot of options maybe closer to home that are still elite softball programs. What was the major draw for you to go to Stanford?
Yes. So one, like the name Stanford was, so that was a big, a big light right there. Just having that call. And then honestly, I loved like the coaching staff. So when I was getting recruited, we were kind of in COVID, so I couldn't really get out to see schools at first. But then I remember I waited until like the summer going into my senior year to start taking visits when all the restrictions started to lift. And I came out here and I just love the coaches, love the weather. Obviously there's no, I don't know, I was confused on why there were no like indoor facilities. I mean, we don't need them here. I'm used to like, I don't know, practicing in like indoor turf facilities and things like that. But
yeah,
truly we practice outside year round over here. And it's just, And I love my teammates. I love the team culture and everything. So that's where it's where I ended up, and I love it.
I'm so happy.
Amazing.
I love that. I love hearing that. Truly.
That's so cool. Yeah. And I feel like a good thing with Stanford is like, you know, like you get your degree from there, you're going to be able to do so many amazing things with your life. Do you know what you want to do when you grow up, for lack of a better
term? So I'm not too sure. I do like pitching lessons right now, actually, and I love doing that. And I've had some like my pitching coach from when I was growing up, she turned herself like just giving lessons on the side to like a full-time business, and now she does that full-time. She has her own facility and everything. Roxy, so cool. Hi, if you're
hi, Roxy.
Yes, but yeah, so now she's doing that full time. So I could see myself doing that, possibly just opening my own facility and giving lessons. Because
good for you.
I don't know. I started doing that in high school, and I just really love it now. So
that's awesome. Well, your degree is going to be in science, right? Is what you were saying?
Yes, like, science, technology, and society. And then my concentration's innovation and organization. So it's focusing a lot on like businessy classes too. So it's I'm kind of looking at like the intersection between like business and like science and technology, if that makes sense.
So would you incorporate a lot of data into your pitching lessons then? Like, is that something that you like to do as a pitcher, is explore data and numbers and spin rates and all the other fun stuff that you pitchers explore?
Yeah. So actually Coach Nyberg, she does a really good job at this, but she works with people and like gets all of our like spin data and all of that. But she also, so someone she played with, Dana Sorensen, and she has her own, Dennis Morrison was like an All-American amazing pitcher, but she has her own like pitching facility in San Diego, and that's what she does a lot of, just like data and things like that. And she gets like the movements of each pitchers and like incorporates that into pitching. So I was able to talk to her a little bit, but she spoke about how a lot of the times pitching coaches ask a player to get a specific position or things like that, but like if a pitcher physically can't do that because of mobility issues and things like that, it can like hinder pitching ability. So the first thing she looks at before like she starts coaching is like she gets like pitcher's measurements and gets mobility and things like that. So I'd love to like, I don't know, whenever I find the time to go to San Diego, I'd love to like spend some time with her also and just look at like what she does, because she uses a lot of data and things like that and incorporates it into pitching. So I'd love to look more into that.
That's so fascinating.
That's so cool. Halo, like that, yes. Like I, at first I was like, how would that go in with pitching lessons? And then there's a whole explanation and something that you would never think of. I mean, back in the day when I was in the college, we didn't even have video to watch, man. Like we watched a World Series and then that was it. And then you're like, maybe YouTube, oh, who, Kehlani Ricketts, how does she pitch? You know, like that was the extent of it. And now we're in a time where you can take these things and talk about mobility and see how to use that to then make a pitcher better. Like what a time to be so an athlete. Cool.
Yes. Cause you can improve, like, yes, you can improve like mechanics and things like that, but a lot of things you can improve, and also has nothing to do with pitching, literally things like mobility and like strength, working small muscles. I remember when I first got here, like that was one thing I could work on, just like not only like the big lifting, like squatting and deadlifts, but like little movements and like little weights. Actually, our trainer, we have our post-game like rehab things. And it's literally like a dumbbell wall over here. We use a 3-pound dumbbell. And like we do like arm mobility, and like I can squat and deadlift a good amount, but those 3-pound dumbbells with like the little movements, it's hard to do.
Killer.
That's
so amazing. True. Where you're like, I just deadlifted 300 and now I'm doing this, and it's like,
I
can't
hard.
Breathe.
Why is my shoulder on fire right now?
Literally, yes.
Yeah, no.
I would love, speaking of like look like scouting back in the day, like when I was in college, I didn't know a pitcher that we were facing, I didn't know a team, I would go to the stat lines and I would look at innings pitched, strikeouts, batting average against, those types of numbers, so that I could get an idea of what I was going to be facing if somebody was a strikeout pitcher, or you know, if they had a lot of walks or their batting average against was high, then I could kind of formulate my own plan without really seeing this pitcher. And I'm looking at your stat line from this year, and you have thrown in 117 innings and you have given up 52 hits, which I really love the number 52, but That's insane. That's less than half the innings pitch you give up a hit. You give up a hit in like once in a while. What it has your pitching approach, has that always been your results, or has it developed as you've gotten older, or have you seen that? And to add in that many innings, 117 innings, you have 185 strikeouts. So you're striking out 1.5 batters a game or an inning. Sorry.
Insane.
Has that always been how you've thrown?
No, not at all, actually.
Okay.
I always wanted that to be, I know that was always the goal. So I remember actually Roxy, who I was talking about, I don't think she's going to like that 1.5 number. Actually, I remember we, growing up, she always said, okay, you need like 2 strikeouts an inning, get 2 strikeouts an inning. So hopefully she doesn't watch this, because it's 1.5. might be a little low for her.
We got you back.
Yeah. But, no, so I just, actually, I remember, when I was younger, I could not spin a ball for the life of me. So I remember I mostly just threw fastballs and changeups until, I want to say later in middle school, I started pitching around 10. And then about eighth grade, freshman year is when I kind of started like learning to spin the ball and everything. And then, I don't know, just gradually got better and better. And then I want to say everything didn't click for me until, I want to say like middle of high school. So sophomore year was like COVID again. Mm. So I feel like I just kind of like, there was no softball going on, so all you could really do is practice. And then after that, I want to say there was a big shift between my freshman year of high school and my junior year of high school. And then that's where everything kind of changed. And it was like, I was a new athlete then.
I'm obsessed.
I think this is such an important point.
Yes.
For anyone that's listening, you don't have to continuously play games on the travel ball scene or in the high school scene to get better. Like you talked about, it was just deliberate, focused practice and making that jump from your freshman to your junior year. It kind of sounds like COVID was a blessing in disguise for you and your development.
Yes, it was, truly, just because like there was, I don't know, like no games really being played. I just practiced, and I just got lost in the process of it. And then, of course, you don't really, like, you can practice and practice and practice, but you don't really, like, see the results until you're against a hitter. Mm-hmm. And I want to say my junior year, we won our first, like, state title, actually, that year. And then I want to say that's when I really, like, that state championship game, actually, was when I really, like, saw the difference between freshman year versus junior me.
I think the other thing to take from that is that you could have taken a year off. You could have said, oh, well, there's no softball, so like I'll just hang out. And but like Halo pointed out, you had some intention behind what you wanted to do, and you practiced and you got better. And I mean, to me, like listening to you say that shows a gamer mindset, like shows why when I watch you out there throwing, I'm like, I know she's going to do it. She knows she's going to do it. Like we all know she's going to do it. And I think that mindset, I mean, when you're a sophomore, you're what, 15 years old?
Like, yeah, around there. Yes.
Yeah. You could go and be a kid. You can run around the neighborhood. You can do whatever, mm-hmm. but you chose to go and develop your craft. And I mean, that rise ball is, I'm swinging and missing at it, sitting at home watching. Like
literally
crazy. Are you so proud of it?
Yeah, I am. I remember that was actually the one. That was the one pitch where actually I did it. I never thought I was gonna get it. It took, and actually I do. Like looking back, during COVID was when it really grew and just
taking
time to just practice it. But yeah, there was a time where I just threw fastballs. I could not spin a ball. I had no clue where the ball was going. Actually, I always threw pretty hard, but I didn't know where it was going. The catcher didn't know where it was going. If you caught me throughout the years, I apologize, because it was not good. My dad got beat up a lot too. He stole my catcher. I go home and he'll still catch me. Wears no gear, wears no helmet, but he's in his sandals. So sometimes I don't even think I'm throwing that hard, because he's just catching me on a bucket in his sandals with no gear.
We love softball bucket dad.
Yes, we do.
We love them. They are. You have a younger brother too, right?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Does he play any sports?
Funny story. So he committed to Cal for football, actually. So
he got a little family rivalry brewing.
Yeah.
Here,
so
huh?
he's there right now. He early enrolled, actually. So he graduated high school. Good for him. But he's at Cal right now. But
wow.
Yeah.
A big family rivalry, and you guys must be super smart going to Stanford and Cal.
Super casual.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know how he ended up at Cal, honestly. We're from Kansas, so he just followed me out here, I guess. But
That's so cool. That's awesome.
I love to hear that. It just feels like a really you've had a really well-rounded experience so far in softball. And I'd love to know kind of what are your goals? Like right now, future, what are some of your goals, softball or not softball?
So obviously the biggest one, I feel like for everyone to win like a national title, I feel like that's a big goal everyone's shooting for. But yeah, definitely that. But actually since the Olympics are in 2028, so I'd love to fingers crossed I get to participate in that. It'll be and I graduated in 2026, so it'll be fun. I'll have a couple years where I can kind of train and get ready for that. And hopefully I make that team. But
awesome. I love that.
Well, I'd love to ask you about your Team USA experience. You are on the roster for the Japan All-Star Series, which is such a fun event. And just being able to go over to Japan and have that experience is amazing for any young player. Can you talk a little bit about that? And what was it like playing international softball for the first time?
Yeah, it was honestly amazing. Like, just playing with getting to play with people you've competed against the past year. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like everyone looks at I know you always look at these like amazing players from across the nation, and I don't know, like you see them do amazing things, and some people you play against, some people like you don't get to play against, you just see them all over the news. But so just being able to play against them and play with them, and I know, like, interact with them. We stayed in like hotel rooms with them, and I don't know, just it was incredible. Just getting to know different people was really cool, and then the coaching staff too. So the head coach was actually Coach Rittman at Clemson, and and he coached Coach Alistair, our head coach. So I thought that was a full circle moment too.
So cool,
man. That's so fun. God, I think of the times, like the hotel times, like obviously, okay, the softball's great. You're in another country, you're playing softball, you're competing against the best. But the hotel times are so, that's something that never changes from travel ball to college to international to pro. When you're just like, I don't know, we play cards a lot. So like when we're in there just playing cards, it just feels like so much fun, like memories that truly last a lifetime, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember playing, we were on the train actually, and we were going city to city. And I remember playing, I don't know if you guys know of like Heads Up. You just put like the phone.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was actually bad. We were playing like Heads Up on the train, and it was supposed to, we were definitely being like the loud Americans like on the train, which was just not good looking back on it. But
oh, that's great.
Yeah. But
I bet those locals never forgot you guys though.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, it was looking back on it, it was not the best thing to do, but it was very, I don't know, it was hilarious. And just the memories from that was really, it was fun.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's funny how the most memories you have in softball, like at least for me, like Sam has a way better softball memory than I do, but most of my memories are like off the field stuff, like just being around my teammates and just having a good time and having fun with each other. Like, yes, the wins and everything, it does matter, but at the end of the day, like what lasts so much longer are those relationships you're able to build. And what a cool opportunity for you after your freshman season to be able to just interact with all of those different people. Like you said, that's so amazing.
Yes, exactly. And you get to see people in like a different light too. Like when you're playing, you always think of the other team as like the bad guy. I don't know.
Totally.
Like it's like you guys are good guys. They're the bad guys. But now you're all like on the same team. You're all interacting. So it was good to like see people in like a different light. And people are different like on the softball field, obviously, than they are in like real life. So it was good to like see other side of everyone.
For sure.
Totally. I would love to know, like obviously learning from your peers, learning from you know, your experience so far in college, who did you have a pitcher that you looked up to or idolized or anything when you were growing up learning pitching and developing as a pitcher? Was there anybody in particular, or was it just kind of you just liked pitching?
Yeah, so it started off with me like just liking pitching. I just saw someone do it when I think a girl like a couple years older than me was pitching, and it just started out like that, like, oh, I'll try out pitching. And then once I kind of got older, I really gravitated towards like Odyssey Alexander and just like how she was as a two-way player. Same with like Rachel Garcia. Just I know those like two-way like softball players. They were really because I pitch and hit, so it was good to so it was good to I don't know, just see someone play like both sides of the ball.
I love
I'm
that.
I'm so glad you brought up the fact that you pitch and hit, because I've been waiting to ask you. You just hit your first career home run, right?
Yes.
It was against Arizona.
Yes.
Walk me through the at bat. I just want to know what that felt like. It like watching it seemed like such a cool moment, and I feel like your teammates were just like so pumped for you when it happened. Just walk me through the at bat and your approach.
Yeah, so I remember, I think the pitch before, I feel like I was seeing the pitcher pretty decently. I remember first pitch before, I just took a hack, and then I think I just missed the ball completely, but I felt pretty good about the pitch.
It
And then
happens. It happens.
it
It
does,
do
yeah.
be happening.
And then second pitch of the bat, it just looked like a good pitch, and I, like I said, I took a hack on it, and it felt pretty good. And then yeah, I
It
just saw
looked so good off the bat too. Like it was, man, so fun.
No,
I
it felt
love
pretty,
that.
yeah.
I was hoping you were gonna say, I thought you might have said Odyssey because of the way that like her ball zips up, and then watching your ball zip up. I like it. I remember seeing you obviously start last year and think that rise ball makes me want to retire. I don't want to face it.
Thank you. That's funny. Yeah.
I thought I was gonna have more to say there, but I just know it just I saw that and I was like, I have no interest in facing that. Because we know how things go with the rise ball in the box for Sam Fisher. But I seen a little bit of, I feel like, do you feel like you've been throwing your changeup more this year?
Definitely, yeah. And that's I think that's one thing also, like going from a pretty decent freshman year to like a sophomore year, like there's more people who kind of like know what you're throwing. They'll have a game plan and
Right.
things like that. So it's
Right.
important to like throw that in more just to keep hitters off balance.
I don't know about you, Halo, but like I think like talking about going from freshman to sophomore year and feeling like people might have your number because now they've seen you a year, but like the adjustments that it takes to continue to improve and to continue to like elevate your level comes from just that. Like what you just said, like people might know what to expect now, and now I'm going to make an adjustment and I'm going to be even better. I'm going to be even more of a challenge for these hitters. And I just think that's elite, like making those adjustments to go on and to not be predictable now, because you're like, oh, she throws 70 up at my hands, at my eyes, and then she's going to throw a dirty changeup. Okay, what am I supposed to do in the box?
Yes, no, that's definitely I credit this to like Coach Nyberg too, just because like she's done a really good job of just like making sure we grow not only like game to game, but also year to year, and just figure out what is because the more at bats like hitters get off of you, they better and better they get. So just being able to like keep hitters off balance and making sure they just can't sit in one spot has been very important.
And those adjustments, like that's how you beat the best of the best, because you know the best of the best teams are going to be the ones that are preparing the hardest and come in. So for you to have a game plan that goes against their game plan, like I just love that cat and mouse game between pitchers and hitters. What is your preparation process like? You're a film girl, you a data girl? Do you like to go through the entire lineup and look at stats? Like what's that process like for you?
Yeah, so we do a lot a good job in our bullpen actually. So our coaches watch a lot of the film for us, and then they usually just they show us pieces that they think are like really important, and then like they write down really good notes. So I usually just go through like Coach Nyberg's notes, because they're really in depth. I could watch five games from each hitter and I won't have notes as good as that. So
Amazing.
I just trust her completely, and I just see what kind of she I just look at what she finds out about hitters, and then I kind of just go off of that. And
That's awesome.
it's been working for 1.5 years now. So
If it ain't broke,
if it's
it's not
not
broke.
broken, yeah.
It's
Oh my
awesome.
gosh, Nyjah, this has been so awesome. Like
You know, they say don't meet your heroes sometimes, right? But watching you play, I can't express it enough. What a joy it is to watch you out on the field. The way that you carry yourself is that of a veteran, in my opinion. Yes, absolutely. And to now talk to you, and you know, we've heard interviews and everything, and we've kept up with you on just watching you. Like we said, we're not exaggerating, we're fans.
Yes, literally.
But to experience you in this way just adds, it fires me up even more to watch you out on the field and to learn more about your mindset. So thanks for taking the time. Halo, do you want to ask your final question for our guests?
Yeah, I do. You have so much playing ahead of you.
So much.
I just can't wait to watch you continue to grow and play professionally, hopefully make the Olympic roster. And I'm so excited for that. But if you could go back and give your 12-year-old self, 13, 14-year-old self, any advice, what would it be?
I would probably say just keep putting in the work. Because it's it gets tiring sometimes, and you don't see results overnight. Like, it takes months and years to finally see results. So then you get caught in this process where you don't see results right away, or you learn a new pitch and you don't see results within, honestly, the first 3-4 months. You might not see any results, but you just have to keep to it, keep working at it, and then eventually, once you hit that year mark, 2-year mark, eventually that's when you'll start that's when you start really seeing the big jumps. So I'd say just keep putting in the work, and then the results will take care of itself.
I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah, no, thoroughly. I'm writing it in my journal as we speak. But thank you for taking the time. We've loved every second, truly. So we wish you nothing but the best. Go Card.
And hopefully we get the chance to see you guys in Oklahoma City.
Yes, fingers crossed. And thank you guys so much for having me. This was really fun.
We're so glad.
Team USA has brought me opportunities that I never thought I would have before. And I'm super humbled to be able to represent my country.
There's so much talent in the United States playing softball right now. And we want to see the game continue to grow and prosper and develop.
I want to develop not just men, but women's softball as well.
I want to see more girls like me playing this sport.
I just hope one day that I could be somewhat mentioned, like a Natasha Watley, to help this game.
I just remember watching everyone in the Olympics, and you guys just representing this country. And for me playing USA softball, I just want to do the same.
Team USA has brought me opportunities that I never thought I would have before, and I'm super humbled to be able to represent my country.
There's so much talent in the United States playing softball right now, and we want to see the game continue to grow and prosper and develop.
I want to develop not just men, but women's softball as well.
I want to see more girls like me playing this sport.
I just hope one day that I can be somewhat mentioned, like a Natasha Watley, to help this game.
I just remember watching everyone in the Olympics, and you guys just representing this country. And for me playing USA softball, I just want to do the same.